Father, we thank you this afternoon that we can gather together and that we don't have to fear intruders or things as in other countries, but we thank you for the freedom that we've got. And we pray, Lord, this afternoon that you will help us to continue to pray into our nation's situation, that this nation will remain a free nation, that nothing of the power of the enemy will come and will destroy what you have caused to come into pass. Father, we're aware of our history and we're aware of your place in it, and we believe that you have not brought us into a situation whereby we're going to be tripped up and we stand against the enemy and we tell him that you will go. You have no power in this nation. You have no power in our lives. You've got no power in this county or these local neighbourhoods, and we take authority right now in the name of Jesus. And we receive, Father, what you've got for us. We receive your word. And as we turn to your word today, we just pray, Lord, that you will help us to apply it to our lives, that it's not just going to tickle our ears, but, Lord, it's going to do us good. And we ask that in your name. This word came about in a rather unusual way. As you are aware, most of you, that recently we were encouraged to read Psalm 18 and to gather together on the Thursday, and we would compare notes and encourage one another. And so, being such a good girl, I got my Bible out and I got Psalm 18 and I found myself writing loads and loads. I'm thinking, well, dear Lord, I don't know where this is coming from. And anyway, I did about 3 pages and thought, well, that's me just covered. I've not done one like that for a while. Then, on the Wednesday, when it came to the service, I got my Bible out and I turned to Psalm 18. I thought, that doesn't look familiar. Well, there was a good reason for that, because I'd actually turned to Proverbs the day before, a couple of days before when I was preparing. So, you're going to get it now. This message has a title. You're going to love this title. Don't say what you don't want. Don't say what you don't want. In Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, that's Mark 11, 23 and 24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you look in verse 23 again, did you notice that it didn't say what things you pray? It said what things that you say will come to pass, and that you will have whatever you say. It's been something that a number of us have been aware of for a number of years. And we tease each other. Somebody will say, oh, my feet are killing me. Ooh, that's serious. Fancy your feet killing you. You think your feet would be more kind? Murderous feet. One that I've had to guard against a lot. Can't sleep. I can never sleep. I can now. Years and years. Lying awake till 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, not sleeping. I'm in bed by 11 these days. Might read for an hour, but don't come knocking on my door before 8 o'clock. because I hate having to rush to put my jammers and my clothes all over the place and then get to the door. You're in detention. And so, you have to be careful what you say. I was talking to Steve earlier on, one of my pet hates is this national obsession. Take care. No. Oh, bye, take care. No. My Bible doesn't tell me to take care. My Bible tells me to cast it. Why would I want to be taking cares on? We've all got enough cares, which we shouldn't have, but we don't need to take any more. We're told to cast them, not take them. Now, the interesting thing about this, it also tells us that when we, that we'll, again, like I say, it says what we said. And then verse 24, it says what things you desire when you pray. It doesn't say if you pray. It says when you pray. So we've got to make sure that we're praying. But then we go a little bit further than that. Because sometimes we talk too much about our sicknesses. We talk about how ill we are. Oh, I'm so sick. No, shut up. You are not sick. You are healed. It might not have manifested itself. Your body, your flesh might not have got the message yet. But the Bible says that you are healed. It doesn't say you might be. Nowhere in there will you find the phrase, you might be healed if you wait long enough. It doesn't say that. It says that you are, or you were. Past tense. It's already done. The thing is, we've got the problem in making this flesh get the message. We don't always get the message because we have spent too much time up here and not enough time in our hearts and in our words. When we have... I don't know what program it comes on before, but there's a program that comes on, and nearly every time this program comes on, there's this advert comes on. Ooh, one in two people will get cancer. And I find myself regularly screaming at the telly, not at this house, we won't. One in two people will get cancer. Not me, I won't. You say, well, you don't know. Yes, I do know. We're trapped sometimes by what we say. If you hear that you're going to get cancer often enough, guess what's going to happen? You need to open your mouths and start talking. You need to start saying things. It's not enough to know up here. You've got to engage this. When things go wrong, you don't find it hard to start yelling and complaining and bleating and moaning. But that's not the right approach. We don't complain, we don't bleat and moan, we stand. And we stand on what this word says. And we apply this word to our hearts and to our lives and to the situations that crop up. I remember a number of years ago I was diagnosed with something, and I'm not telling you what it is. And it was pretty serious. And the doctor telling me how bad it's going to get. And how serious it's going to be, and how you're going to be in a wheelchair, and all this. And in his surgery, he'd got this picture of a dolphin. And I'm not listening to what he's saying. I'm not taking on board everything that doctor. And obviously, some things got through. But I found myself concentrating on this picture of a dolphin, trying to count how many teeth it had got, trying to guess how long it was. Because the thing is, if you dwell too much on what the doctor tells you, then you start believing for these symptoms to manifest. I'm not in a wheelchair. And there's a good reason for that. 6 weeks after I went to the doctors, all the symptoms disappeared. Because I decided that that diagnosis was not mine, didn't live at my address, it wasn't welcome, so it's not stopping. We need to take authority over what's going on in our lives. We're too ready sometimes just to let everything happen to us. And things shouldn't be things should be happening to us, but we should not be allowing things to happen to us that are not of God. We should be influencing what's happening. We should be influencing what's happening in this neighbourhood, in the neighbourhoods where we live. We certainly need to be taking some sort of authority over what's affecting our lives. A number of weeks ago, well, probably a month now, I started counting up how many different things were wrong with me, physically. And I was very, very discouraged when I got to the total of 19 and still was able to add some more and decided this is a bad idea. All that achieved was it got me depressed. But I'm thrilled to say that the number is now in single figures and that there's going to come one day when the sickness total becomes a nice big round number. That's the one. Because there's no way that we should put up with sickness and disease in our lives. That's not to say that, I mean, there are things I'm taking medication for now. You don't need to know what they are, because that then encourages other people to talk about your sickness. It's not mine. It's not mine. And it's going. No sickness or disease has any right in my body. It's got no right in your body. All that's got a right to stay in your body is the Holy Spirit. We receive Jesus and that's it. If it's not of God, it's got no right in your body. Jesus didn't say, I'm the sick. He said, I'm the healer. Our words create images. There's that old adage, isn't there? When you think dog, what do you think of when you think dog? Well, most of us think Charlie these days. So we're going to change it. Think tulip. Some of you will have a red tulip, some of you have yellow tulips. But a word will create an image in you. And there's a good reason for that, because words are creative forces. When in Genesis, God spoke the word, and the word enabled the world to be created. So words have got creative power. And the words that you say have got the ability to create things in your life. Might be for good, but if you're not careful, they might be for bad. So we go to Proverbs chapter 18, not Psalms. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The same chapter, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Death in the power of the tongue. I remember a number of years ago, we were at Maltby, and there was a lady and a daughter in the cafe there. And the lady had said something to me, and just sort of flippantly, I sort of said to her, comments like that make your nose bleed, you know. And then chuckled and went into another room. But the strange thing was, 10 minutes later, her daughter came running in. Oh, yeah, you'll never guess what's happened. I said, oh, what? My mother, her nose is bleeding. Wow. It's a good job I didn't say something worse. But it's sort of a flippant thing. But, you know, as we become more aware of what God has given to us, we expect when we lay hands on people and command them to be healed, we expect them to be healed. We heard the other week about how Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and the next thing, they're both dead. There is coming a time when we are going to have to really watch what we say, because we are going to be so infused with power from God that what we say can literally come to pass straight away. We need to be careful, not only for our own sakes, but for the sakes of other people. We need to be careful what we say. And back in this, on a similar vein, we go to James chapter 3, and it talks about the tongue. James chapter 3, starting at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire. A world is iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Wow. Who's controlling your tongue? Sometimes, you know, you can tell by what we say who's got the control there, can't we? And sometimes it's just something silly we might say. But we do have to guard very carefully the things that we say. It is important. Like I said at the beginning, don't say what you don't want. Like I said, one in two is going to get cancer, not me. It's not coming to my house. Many things are affected by what you say. The thing is, our salvation, our healing and our deliverance are already ours. We accept Jesus for our salvation and we all believe that we're saved. With or without any evidence. I can't show you any evidence that I'm saved, other than the fact that I might tell you and I might behave and act as if I am. You don't truly know. But God knows. Now the thing is, by the same token that we receive Jesus as our Saviour, at the same time, we receive Him as our healer. So if we don't believe that we can be healed, how can we believe that we can be saved? The same Jesus that provided us with salvation has given us healing and deliverance. He's given us provision of all that we need. The problem is us. And the majority of time, it's this little member. In Psalm 107 verse 10, it tells us that God sent His word and healed them. He didn't say it might heal them. He said He sent His word and healed them. The work is already done. He sent His word to heal them. And we are each of us responsible for our words. Where healing is concerned. And the priority of the words that you speak are benefiting or not benefiting yourself. You are responsible for what you declare over your life. To a certain extent, other people can do. But if you don't allow that word to take root, other people's words shouldn't have the ability to cause you difficulties. Unless you allow them to. But when you are responsible for your words over your life, I thought about it in the situation of like, you can't affect me with your words because your words are likened unto medicine. Now, there is situations where people will put curses or try and put curses on you. But in the name of Jesus, we can withstand them. That's what your shield of faith is for. So these curses don't land. We've got the authority to send them back to where they came from. And it's like, if I have some pills, and you say, oh, don't bother, I'll take them for you today. Really? You taking my pills is not going to do me any good. And it might do you a lot of harm. We have to make sure that our words, primarily, are spoken over our lives, and that we are fully aware of what we are declaring over our lives. And by His grace and by His ability, we can make sure that we confess things aright. Especially if we quote from the Bible. Quote the Bible back at him. Find verses that speak to your situation. And as Andrew said many times, put your name in there and declare it to God. But the words that you believe are carriers of your faith. The creative powers, and they will carry your faith. You will many a time just say what you believe. When you're at a weak moment, you're in a rush, you don't stop to think about what you're saying, you say what's in your heart. And sometimes what's in your heart, nobody wants to hear. It's important that we get this word into our lives and into our hearts, so that when situations arise, we can be helpful and not a hindrance. Because if you say things that are not appropriate, they'll be creating results that are not wanted. Again, if we look at John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus says in there that He speaks, His words are spirit and life, I believe. If I can find it. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Somebody's finished it. Oh, here we go. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. And the words that Jesus speaks unto us are spirit and they are life. If you feel as if you've not got much of a life, yeah, get Jesus to quicken something by His spirit in your life. Enliven yourselves up. Allow God to have His way in your life. And it's not surprising that Jesus says that his words are spirit and life, because so are ours. Our words are spirit and life, because we are created in His image. So if we are created in His image, we are created with the same abilities that He had. And if He is able to create things by His word, so are you. One of the most popular passages about a woman of faith is found in Mark chapter 5. And this is the lady that had the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things, many physicians, and has spent all that she had and was getting nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She said. She didn't pray. She didn't go running round to his disciples, seeking counselling. She said, "If I can just touch his clothes." Her touch on his clothes put a demand on heaven's resources. Her touch on his clothes invoked the covenant that God had. Her touch on his clothes was a connecting point. If I can just touch his clothes, if I can just get hold of him. Most folk would want an hour's counselling, you know, in some places 12 Hail Marys and 600 Our Fathers. And I'm not being derogatory about these people. There are many different ways that people approach God. But it's approaching God that's important. She saw herself well. She didn't think, "Oh, I hope if I touch his clothes, it might stop. Oh, I wish. Oh, I wonder." No, she didn't do that. She said, "If I can just touch his clothes, I will be well." What about you? How are you going to connect for yourselves to be well? As most of you know, recently I've had problems with my eyes. There were a number of things that they said. One of them that I'd not be driving much longer. Ha ha ha. But a couple of months ago, I mean, I've been standing, I've had one or two put in awareness of what was going on. But most of you know, the last time I went, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they told me that I couldn't find the problem. But well, stop looking for it then. My Bible says, "Seek and you will find." Stop looking. If it's gone, it's gone. Stop looking for something that's not there. Seek and you will find. But when you have been declared well, you stay well. The upshot of it was that they were told, they decided that they're going to give it 6 months. And if they can't find it again, they're going to discharge me. Well, I've got news for them. They're going to be discharging me. And they're going to be discharging me in November because they've sent me my appointment. So, if you're going to say anything positive, just believe with me that this is going to be a total discharge. Because I'm healed. And that's only the beginning. There are other things that are going to be disappearing as well. Because I have a right to be whole. And I have a right to be healed. Oh, you can't say that. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah, I do. My Bible says, "With long life I will satisfy." Well, I'm not satisfied. I'm satisfied that I've lived as long as I have, but I intend living a lot longer. And I intend living better and happier and more well than I have done for a long time. In fact, at the moment you're looking at somebody that's feeling a lot better than she has done for some time. For quite a lot of years, probably 10 since my mum passed, I've suffered with one thing or another. And eventually, if you're not careful, you get your eyes on the problem. You get the eyes on the sicknesses. And as I say, that day that I counted to 19 and was still going, do not do it. It is depressing. What I should have been doing was getting in here and finding the scriptures relevant to the sicknesses and diseases that were manifesting themselves and telling them where to go. Because they're not mine. They don't live at my address. I didn't sign for them. I'm not receiving them. So go. Evict them. Things that you don't want in your life, the easy thing is, chuck it out. If you've got something in your house you don't want, unless you're a super hoarder. I mean, I have to be careful sometimes. But unless you really don't want something, you're in danger of getting loads and loads of stuff. And at the end of the day, you've got a house full of stuff, nowhere to park your backside. You look on TV sometimes and they show you these hoarder programs. How some of these people live. My dad was the best. Oh Lord. Ken, bless him, one day came to my dad's with me. And he must have made a dozen trips to the tip with trailers full of rubbish. And I'm saying to my dad, are we chucking this then? Well, I don't know. When did you last use it? Oh, I don't think I've ever used it. Yeah, you bin. And when we'd emptied the room, I went round the back of the house and got the bin. Fetched the dustbin it, stuck it in the front room and gave him strict instructions. Every week you put your rubbish in this bin. I want to see no more rubbish on the floor, stuffed in cupboards, packed in drawers. And he managed it most of the time. But sometimes, you know, when your lives are messed up, it's just easier to chuck it on the floor, isn't it? Just easy. No, it's not. It's called lazy. Going back to this lady, what she was hoping for was that when she touched, but that hope was mixed with faith. And sometimes we have hopes. We have hopes that God will do this for us. We'll have hopes for that. We've got that. But hope, unless it's mixed with faith, is only a goal. It's only a dream. My dad always hoped he was going to win the lottery. I told you, to win the lottery, love, you have to buy a ticket. Which he did some weeks. But he was always on about, when I win that big lottery win, then you'll know. When I've got all this money. So yeah, yeah, right. When you've got all this money. It'll be an horseshoe. Or a woodbine factory. Because that's all he knew to do with his money. That's all he was interested in, sadly. But this lady, she had a goal. And she mixed that goal with faith. And she said, if I can just touch, I'm going to be well. Amen. Completing the story. Same chapter, chapter 5. Verse 29. Straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Amen. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself, turned round about him in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Come on. All these people, who touched your clothes? But this woman had touched his clothes for a reason. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and say you, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman was frightened and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And we're no good lying, was it? And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed from your plague. When you're not well, have you noticed how you don't have much peace in your life? When you're gasping for breath, you don't have much peace. When you can't get to sleep at night, you don't have much peace. Take a leaf out of Charlie's book. Charlie's got the right idea. He sat next to his master and he's fast asleep. Because he's safe. And he knows that no harm's going to come to him. And it's the same with you. You keep close to your master. No harm's going to come to you that he won't defend you from. Not saying that things won't happen. Things will try to cause problems. But remember who's in charge of your life. When we think about what Jesus went through when he was at the cross, he went through all this beating and whipping and the crown of thorns and all the rest of it. And the Bible says that During all this, he opened not his mouth. Didn't say a word. Now, if you start beating me up and trying to put some crown of thorns on my head, I'll have a few things to say. I'll have a lot of things to say. And they won't all be nice things. And at that point, then you have to repent. Lord, we're here again. I'm sorry. And you're laughing, but you're the same. Because we've not fully got it into our heads how we need to renew our minds. Jesus never said a word. Jesus knew what his purpose were. And it's probably a good thing he didn't say a word. Why give the devil the clues to what was going to happen? The time the devil needed to know was when it was too late. He thought he was so smart. I've got Jesus now. Jesus is a dead man. I'm in charge. Wrong. Your troubles are only just beginning. And we are going to make them worse. One of the things, if we don't receive our healing and if we don't avail ourselves of what we've got, we'll carry on taking our pills and medicines. And I don't know about you, but I've read some of the side effects. Some of the side effects are worse than what they're trying to cure. Some of the side effects on some of the pills I've been prescribed in the past, I've read them, taken the pills back to the doctor and said, I'm not taking them. Well, they'll do you good. Oh yeah, they'll do me good. They'll give me this, they'll give me that, they'll give... No, I shan't be taking those. So whenever I've had to have a prescription in the past, I have been quite annoying. And I intend to stay the same. But the thing is with these pills and potions, you know, we take the pills. But a lot of these pills don't heal us. Well, I'm taking painkillers. I'm not. But people will say, I'm taking painkillers and it takes all the pain away. Yeah. But it's not healing you from what you've got wrong, is it? It's alleviating the symptoms, but it's not healing you. I'm taking the Word of God. With the Word of God, there's no side effects, only good ones. And at the end of the day, you come out on top. You have the victory. Sometimes it takes longer than we'd like. I know I'd like my situation to have cleared up a lot quicker. But people will say, well, maybe God's teaching you something. Nope. Maybe we just weren't smart. Maybe we got sidetracked. God does not teach you anything from sickness. Number one, God doesn't have sickness to give you. He can't give you what he hasn't got. If he's the healer, he's not going to give you sickness. Otherwise it'll say, and Jesus died on the cross so that he could give them this, this, this and this disease, but he'll heal them from that and that disease. He doesn't say that anywhere. Jesus is the healer. He's not going to make you sick. He may allow you to become sick because of something that you've either something that you've done irresponsibly or just purely and simply because viruses are around. I mean, we've all been through this COVID thing. And some people have had COVID, some haven't. Happily, I haven't. Well, not that I'm aware of. But the Bible also tells us that in the last days there's going to be more of this. Are you going to allow it to infect you next time? I'm on the side of leave me alone. Don't live at my address. I was born to be an overcomer. I was saved that I might have the victory. And that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. and that's just the way it is. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, a very popular phrase. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And you can do exactly the same. We, made in his image, are able to say what God says. You're not lying when you say that you're healed and your body's manifesting sickness. Your body needs more training, and it needs to listen to what you're saying. So make sure that you're talking to it properly. And your body has to get in line with God's word. God's word tells me that by his stripes we were healed. Were. Not going to be. Were. By his stripes we were healed. Your body's got... This is interesting. Came across this fact. Excuse me. As well as sickness, our bodies sometimes get illnesses because of a chemical imbalance. It's interesting to know that the part of the brain where this chemical imbalance starts from also controls your speech. The same part of your brain that causes these in chemical imbalances also controls your speech. Wow. And you say words are not important. Do me a favour. Our flesh will say it like it is. But we've got the mind of Christ. And we need to say like how it is. And it's not sickness. It is healing. It is health. He's promised us divine health. You need to say what God says about the situation. You say what God says about your health. God says that you are well. He says that you are whole. He said that you're created in his image. That you've got power and authority over things that are seeking to destroy you and seeking to give your life a bit of a trouble time. But it doesn't matter whether it's sickness or any circumstances that we find ourselves in. I mean, the world at the moment is going absolutely nuts about the price of petrol and the price of all these other things. And, the government's got to do all this for me. Why should it? And I'm not saying that a lot of people are in desperate need. But a lot of people are just out for what they can get. And the majority of people that will be getting some of this money don't need it. Think about landlords. Some of these landlords have got tenants and they may have 50 properties. And these 50 properties all get £150 council tax rebate. Doesn't go to the individual living in the property, it goes to the person that pays the bill. The person living in the property pays the council tax, they'll get the money. But if the landlord pays the council tax, the landlord gets the money. You see, the thing is with some of the world systems are messed up. They do what they think is right, but it isn't always. And there are a lot of people in desperate need at the moment, and we as believers need to be responsible and think about carefully who we are giving to. It's okay to give to neighbours and people that need help. But please try and make sure that you are not being conned, because there are lots of people out there that will try and scam you, trying to play on your heartstrings because they know that what we stand for and that we'll gladly help people. But people that need help, need help. But there's a lot of people that just want to pile it up. They're just out for themselves. So especially at this time of hardship, I encourage each one of you to make sure that you hear from God. And that you just check with God first before you start dishing out I mean, a couple of quid for a sandwich, you know, we all misses that. But if you're meeting a real need, seek God first, get His voice on it. Because it's easy to be cons these days. Another good thing about this healing business from Jesus, especially for those of you that are not retired, there's no prescription charges. Your prescription's free. I know for us, with certain illnesses, even before your retirement age, you can get them for nothing if you've got certain things wrong with you. But prescription charges, I think there's about a tenner now, I don't know. But even so, with Jesus, there's no charge. He's paid. He's already paid the price. It's what we need, it's what we say that needs to change. Going back to the thing with my eyes, didn't realise it at the time, but when the doctor was telling me, oh, I can't find these, we need to take another photograph. Maybe they've sent me the wrong picture, so I took another photograph. I'm really not sure. We'll just take another picture. So I took another picture. They took 3 pictures that day. But the thing is, when the conclusion was drawn and he told me that they could not find it, I physically felt a weight leave. When you're not well, sometimes you don't realise what has been attracted to you. And I physically felt whatever it was, go. Ain't coming back. I know it's not come back because I haven't felt the weight. And I intend not to. Because Jesus has done the work. So if nothing else this afternoon, the bottom line is I encourage each and every one of us to remember that Jesus has done the work. So what are we waiting for? We need to talk the answer and not the problem. Don't say how sick you are. Say how healed you are. And if somebody looks at you and says, well, you don't look very well, you're looking with your wrong eyes. Don't look with these. Look with the eye of your heart. Look with your eyes of faith. Because it's so easy to get sidetracked. And we influence each other more by our words than by anything else. You ever been in and somebody said something to you and it's, don't know who they think they are. Number one, no they don't. Number two, wrong attitude. We're still responsible for how we respond to other people. But as I said, the crux is here. We need to talk the answer and not the problem. It's easy to say that Jesus is our Saviour, we believe that, but it's not as easy to say that Jesus is my healer when I appear or feel ill. And we have to put our feelings beside, because if there's one thing I've learned over the years, your feelings lie. And your feelings will make you so miserable and so unhappy. So get over your feelings, get into your word, and talk the answer, not the problem. And by that, I mean speak it out. Don't just sit in your chair and say, right, I'm praying. Amen. That was powerful, weren't it? No, pray. Open your mouth and pray. Then you are not only informing yourself about what you want to come to pass, you're informing the devil what you're out and about. And you're confirming to God that you believe His word. Open your mouth and talk the answer. And the problem will take care of itself.